And there's no limit when I walk with God. And we really need to learn how to take off those self-imposed limits. And not only self-imposed, but many times imposed by circumstance and what other people say. Because everybody seems to have an opinion today. You know, everybody seems to have an idea how I ought to live. Have you ever noticed that people like to share with you what they think? And it's like limitation. People put limitation. You know, church will do that to you. They say, well, we don't believe in that. That's passed away. Or God doesn't do that anymore. So they limit you. And they hold you back. And they confine you. I want to just share with you a scripture that I want you to read with me. You all know it. It's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. How many know that scripture? All right, let's read it together. Ready? I can do. Now let's do that one more time because some of you are like a little late. There was like an echo. We went, I can, and then there was an I can on behind. So are you ready? We're all going to do it together. Ready? Read it. I can. Who strengthens me? Now, do you really believe that today? You see, if that's the case, that means then there are no limitations in your life. And I want to introduce us today to the fact that that's exactly what Jesus came to do, to take off the limits. You know, many of us live with what I was fearful of when I was a child. My mother used to use this as a whooping tool. It was a yardstick. Anytime she went to the cupboard, I know what she was getting. And it was over there by the vacuum cleaner up against the closet. And she'd grab that and she'd say, come here. After a while, I got smart. I said, I'm not coming over there. What do you think? I know what you're going to do. Then when I got a little bit bigger, I took it away from her. She was whooping me. I said, no, I don't think so. Give me that thing. So I took it away. And she'd look up at me. She was only like 5'1". I don't know how I got to be so tall. She's 5'1", 5'3". She looked at me. She said, give that back to me. And I said, yeah, like I'm going to give it back to you so you can whoop me some more. What do you think I am, crazy? But guess what I did? I gave it back to her. So as I hold this, there's a little bit of issue inside of me. I'm trying to reconcile the fact that it meant lots of pain for me. But I hold it today because it's a measure. It's a measure. And many of us walk around with yardsticks. Maybe some that have a greater measurement in life. Maybe some less. But it's what determines how far you'll go with your faith. It's what determines how much you will really believe that God will do for you. When you read scriptures like Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a difficult scripture to swallow because there's a mentality that has to be developed that says, you know what? I can overcome every obstacle I'll ever face. When you read that kind of scripture, that kind of mentality that says, I have the ability because God is in me to overcome any mountain that'll ever face me. And suddenly, if you're walking around with a yardstick and your faith is demanding more than what you've been measuring, it's hard to reconcile scriptures like that. And we think, nah, you know what? It's not for me. God will only heal people with liver diseases like that young lady. God will only take away that pain in the back like that young man. But God won't do it for me. And sometimes we get those conclusions drawn because we walk around with a yardstick or a measure that's just too short. I believe that limits today are what is really haunting the church. Let me give you a definition of what a limit is. It's a point which something cannot or may not proceed. We get to a certain point in our family, our marriage, our finances, our faith, and we can't go beyond it. It's a limit. It's imposed by either ourselves, by religion, by other people, by intimidations, maybe by fears. It really doesn't matter how it got there, but it keeps us from proceeding beyond that point. You know, as I began to ponder that thought, I thought, God, you know, I don't want to be limited in my walk with you. But more than that, I don't want to limit you in me. And that's really what it's all about, isn't it? We limit God in us because of our yardstick. So I don't know about that. If God wanted to, he could go beyond my measurement. I'm not so sure about that. Isn't faith required? Of course it is. And Jesus says that we give us a measure of faith in Romans 12:3. That's true. And then the disciples said, well, Lord, increase our faith. So we understand that faith comes in multiple ways, but it can grow and it can increase and we can go further in our faith. And so our challenge this morning is not to sit at the impasse. Sit at the point that says no further. You can't fix this. It'll never be fixed. It's always been broken. And that's how you'll have to live. I want you to know that's not true. Let me share with you a couple of scriptures that I think may help us. I'm going to give you a definition of what a measure is. It is a system which determines the quantity or the capacity of a thing. So when we walk around with a limitation or a measure or a yardstick and says, that's about all I can have of God and that's about all or how far I can go in God. Most of us do that because of what we were told or maybe by what we're experiencing or maybe by what we were taught in church. See, religion has a way of measuring our faith. The prophet saw something very interesting in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 1. He saw a man standing there with a measuring line in his hand. Now we know he was measuring Jerusalem, but understand with me, that measuring line was to measure the capacity or the quantity of a nation. And I believe the Holy Spirit is in this room this morning with a measuring line. He's measuring our yardstick. He's measuring whatever implement we've chosen to use that permits God to operate within that circumference. Outside that circumference, we're not so sure that God is able. Because we have come to a point that we cannot proceed. I can't proceed beyond that problem. I was able to proceed beyond my sin and become saved, but now to believe that God will heal me, whoo, that's beyond my measuring stick. It's beyond my capacity. It's beyond my measure. Mark chapter 6, verses 3 through 6 tells a story about Jesus coming to Nazareth. He came into Nazareth, and of course, that was his hometown. And the Bible says specifically that they saw him not as the Son of God, not as the Messiah, but according to their measure stick. They saw Jesus as the son of a carpenter. They saw him as one of those that were in the family who had brothers and sisters. They did not see him as the Messiah, as the Son of God. They measured their relationship with Jesus and limited him in his divinity. Now, what happened in that story? The Bible says that Jesus could do no great miracles there, outside of a few healings. Now, let me ask the question, why couldn't Jesus do miracles? Because of their measure. They believed that Jesus was only a yardstick long. They believed that the circumference around them included what they knew about him in the natural. They had not gone beyond the natural understanding of who Jesus was. Yes, he was the son of a carpenter, but he was also the son of God. But see, the son of the carpenter was inside the measurement or the capacity or ability that they had determined about the son of God. They had to come outside or go beyond their measure in order to see him as the son of God. And they didn't. So the miracle was outside of their measure. Now, the Bible tells us that from there, Jesus went to Capernaum. In Matthew chapter 4, he came out of Nazareth and went to Capernaum. Now, if you know anything about Capernaum, it was no big deal of a city. As a matter of fact, they were a bunch of pagans. And the Bible said that he healed all that were sick and he delivered all that were oppressed of the devil. Now my question is, how come in Nazareth he couldn't do any great miracles? And how come in Capernaum there was no limits on his divinity and his ability? Was he the same God in Nazareth that he was in Capernaum? Come on, somebody, help me. Yeah, he was the same God. Look at me now. Say, same God. He was the same God in Nazareth as he was in Capernaum. But the people in Nazareth walked around with a measure that shortened the arm of God. And even God himself said, is the arm of the Lord so short that he cannot save? Only when the people amputated. Only when you and I put a limit on it. Say, God, you can only go this far in me. You've never gone this way before. I've never heard you doing things like this before. I heard some things today that I had never known. You just stretched my faith. You just pulled me out a few more yards. That's why it's powerful to hear a testimony. Because I know my God is not a God of partiality. I know that if he'll heal a woman, he'll heal a man. If he'll heal a young person, thank you, Lord. He'll heal an old guy. Come on. You see, if he'll heal in the morning, he'll heal in the evening. There are no limitations, no capacity limitations, no quantity limitations on what God will do. And when you begin to take off all the measuring lines and limitations on your relationship with God, things get real interesting. Yes, they do. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 14, verses 16 to 17, it was a story about the loaves and the fish. We hear about that so often, but it is such an important story. Because Jesus said to them, look, don't send them away. Give them something to eat. And they said, Lord, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, no problem. Here's what I need you to do. You see 5 loaves and 2 fish within the yardstick reach of your faith. But bring them to me. Now, here's what's interesting. Jesus wasn't within their measure. And in order for them to bring their 5 loaves and 2 fish, limitation, to God, they had to go beyond where they've ever been before. And that's why many times Jesus will bring you and me out from where we have been. And what the devil will do for evil, what the devil will do to try to destroy you, God will say, oh, this is an opportunity for me to build their faith. This is an opportunity for them to see me like they've never seen me before. And so when you get the report of sickness or report of disease, you say, Lord, I need you to stretch my faith. And he'll say, look, I'm going to be just beyond your self-imposed limit. Bring that sickness to me. Bring that marriage to me. Bring that pain. Bring that fear. Bring it to me and watch what I do with it. And of course, we know what he did with it. I have to ask the question, where in my life have I measured God? Where in my life have I said, God can't go any further. This is all. We're up against a wall, God. It's an interesting thing about walls and God. He just like acts like they're not there. It's really weird. The disciples are inside the room, in the upper room, and they're all hiding out and stuff. And Jesus is like, hey, I know y'all are in there. And he walked right through the wall. And he says, peace. And then he leaves the same way he came in, right through their limitation. He showed up and walked through the barrier that was keeping them in fear. If you and I will lift up our eyes this morning, we will begin to see a God that is able to walk through every wall that either you or the devil has built to try to keep you contained, to keep you in the place that you've always been, thinking you'll never go beyond where you've always been, or this is as far as it will go, or this is as good as it'll get. Oh, no, no. We found out last week we're great. And if you haven't got to that great level yet, listen, there is a whole lot more greater than great. And God has more beyond that. He has the greatest experience for every one of us in here. Don't put up a wall and think that you cannot go beyond that. And I love the story that I want to tell you now for the next couple of minutes. It's in 2 Kings. It's a classic story. How many have ever read the story? Kind of wave at me about the four lepers. Everybody knows that story. You know, you hesitate as a preacher to even use it. Because people start tuning you out and go, yeah, I know about the four lepers. They were leper. And they went in there and they got the food and they came back. And so don't tune me out. But the four lepers is an interesting point. And I had to ask the Holy Spirit, why five? Four, not five. Why not seven? Why not three? But there were four. Everybody put up four fingers and say four. Yeah, four. God gave four lepers. Interesting. And in verse 3, we read that there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? One of them got a revelation. One of them thought, maybe we're sitting here within the boundary of our own faithlessness. Maybe we've imposed limitation on us. Why are we standing on the other side of the line? Now, I like the fact that the Bible uses lepers because now you understand why they're there. Society told them they had to be there. There were rules for people with leprosy. And just like rules for people like you. You stay on the other side and don't cross. Religion likes to give us rules and tell us what we can't do if you're a woman and what you can do if you're a man. Everybody likes to, by their own definition, dictate your level of permission. But here, the four lepers, who I don't know how many body parts were missing. I don't know. I know one thing, they were disfigured. I know one thing, as I saw this morning from our little missionary that's in India, Natalie Neubauer, whose parents were here not long ago, now traveling to Nepal, who just visited a leprosy clinic and sent me pictures this morning. Their bodies were all covered and their faces were disfigured, and she was sitting there in a photograph ministering to them. It were people like that, that society had thrown away. That the rules of society had limited. And God decided to use. I love the Bible because it always talks about the rejected. And I really relate to that. Notice what the Bible said. They were at the gate. And that tells me that many of us are at the gate today. Meaning we're at the entrance point of taking off the limits. We're right there. We are so close. All we have to do is walk through and we're on the other side. But you know what? We can't do it. There's nobody chaining us. There's nobody threatening us with a gun. There's nobody standing over us. There's no police cruiser standing by. There's nobody to intimidate us. It's that we have been so conditioned that we don't belong on the other side of the gate. Now in verse 20, there was another man at the gate. Interesting. Two people found at the gate. This guy was the servant of the king. when Elijah had prophesied and said that this city is going to turn around in 24 hours. Because you see, the Assyrians had encircled the entire nation and they had not let any food in. They were starving to death. The Bible said they were eating donkeys' heads. They were eating dung. And they were eating their children. See, they were in a desperate situation. Read the story. And Elijah, the man of God, comes in and says, God's about to take off your limits. And when he does, he's going to turn it around in 24 hours. Come on, take your finger, draw a big circle, say turn around. Woo! See, you and I've got to believe that God is able to turn it around that quick. Just that quick, God is able to turn it around. And the Bible tells us that that man at the gate said, if God would open up the heavens and pour bread out of the heavens, we're going to get it. And the prophet looked at him and said, you know what? Everybody else will, but you won't. So there are people at the gate today of opportunity, many of which, many have disqualified you. You've even disqualified yourself. But God sent me here today to encourage you, kind of push you through the gate, so that you can experience the blessing of God. But there are others that are standing here that just won't go. Don't let faithlessness win out. Let faith win today and take you through to the other side. You know, this is a great story because they were sitting in the place of indifference, and their whole strategy was based upon what other people will do. You know how many of us live that way? We live our whole lives based on what we think other people are going to do and what other people are going to say. That's exactly what happens. They started talking in their little dialogue back and forth. Look, we're going to die sitting here. There's nothing inside there. There's nothing going back for us. Let's go into the enemy's camp. If they kill us, we're going to die anyway. All fear had been lost. And they walked toward the camp. Now, I don't know if I can find me four leper actors this morning. Can I find four leper actors over here? Men, women, doesn't matter. Just give me four people and get leprosy for me real quick, would you? Come on. Help me out. Help the poor boy out. Come on. Give me four lepers. There you go. Now, you're kind of, you know, one of you, that's only one. Can you all count? I need three more. Gotta go. Okay, there's two. There's three. One more. Okay. Now, you got to stay right there for a minute. All right, then we got four lepers. All right, you're trying to help each other. You can't walk. I mean, you're dragging stuff. You're hanging over. Your mouth and your face is disfigured. You know, all that kind of stuff. All right. I'll tell you when to go in a minute. Hold on, though. Hold on. Then we have the Assyrian army right here. Looked at each other and said, we're not doing right. This is not right. Do you know how many other people are living in limitation? They said, we got to go back. Now, the Bible doesn't say it. So I'm kind of like having liberty with the Bible. So don't say like, well, you're preaching stuff that's not even in the Word. Okay. I know that. I know this isn't in the Bible. But I'm just telling you, the kind of God I serve, do you think they went back walking and jerking and dragging stuff? No, man. It's like, pull up that chariot. They got up inside the chariot. Got a couple horses. I'm not going back the way I left. Come on, church. Tap somebody and say, you're not going back. You're not going back the way God found you. Come on. You think Jesus is coming back for less than what he found when he came? Ain't no way. So they get back and they tell him, and the king's like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I mean, this must be a trap. They just want us to come out so they can, you know how sometimes your leaders are, don't have a lot of faith. Sometimes that's like me. Well, you know, you better be, you know, just be sensible about this. But you know when you've got a word. You know when you've taken off your limits. And so they all rushed out of the gate. And the word of the prophet came true. In 24 hours, there was more than enough. But you remember that boy at the gate? Verse 20. It's a sad, sad commentary. Because he represents so many in the church who can't go beyond their yardstick. Got trampled at the gate. At the point of the entrance into the victory. You come so close, but you've let something hold you back. And I don't know what it is today that's holding you back. I could tell you what's been holding me back in many ways. I can tell you what I've had to do to try to get the victory. But you know, everybody's story is different. Everybody's story is unique, and we have to kind of plow through our own limitation of capacity and quantity. You see, the voices we hear that keep us seated at the place of indifference or limitation are going to cease. And I don't know if you're experiencing something in life today that won't move. It won't move. Have you been in stalemate? Have you been in a place of deadlock? That thing has to move. But notice something. It didn't move until they did. Well, let me just finish with talking about the four lepers. Because there's a little study about, you know, numerology is kind of an interesting study. And if you study the number or the letter four, it means material completeness. It's talking about earth, wind, fire, and water. It talks about the east, the north, the south, and the west. And really, literally, many have interpreted it this way. Theologians say when you see the number four in the Bible, it talks about all of God's creative completeness. So suddenly I start thinking, God, this doesn't make sense. Why would you release your material completeness to people with leprosy? And then I got excited. I said, God, I've been one of those. Leprosy, you see, is symbolic of sin, but it can be symbolic of a lot of stuff. It can be symbolic of rejection. It can be a symbolic of pain. It can be symbolic of not fitting into your society or maybe even your gender. Feeling uncomfortable in church. Kind of that person that everybody pushed away. And God said, you know those people? Tell them I've got everything completed for them if they'll just step out from where they're at and go beyond the self-imposed limitation. Church, I am so excited this morning I could run through a wall. But I know I don't have a glorified body yet, so I'm going to hold off. I got this feeling. I have this feeling that we're about to go where we've never gone before. I do. I've got that feeling. I don't say it just to say it. I say it because I feel it. And that's why we're having a supernatural Sunday night service tonight. With Paul Hubbard right here. 7 o'clock, is it? I think it's 7. Y'all are invited. You ought to bring some lepers with you. Say, well, we can't go. We stink. Got parts missing. We're all wrapped up. We're dragging stuff. Say, you're in the right place. Because you're not going to church. You're going to a leper colony. Because every one of us have been where they are at. So it's our opportunity to bring people in to the liberty of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head with me for a minute, please? When I start thinking about the four lepers and the understanding of the word four and leprosy, it seems as though it's a contradiction. That everything can be available to those that have been rejected? God, why would you do that for me? Oh, because you love me. You see, God loves so much that he became the leper. The Bible says he who did not know any sin became sin for us. that we who knew no righteousness could be made righteous. And so today all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord. It's still amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was bound, but now I'm free. I was just a leper walking through my life, trying to find my way. People told me I didn't belong. They would put up their hand and tell me no, to go back, to go back where I belong. But then I met amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I would be so wrong if I didn't come back to the place where I used to be. Take your hand and walk with me. It's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You feel that? You see, some of you might be in that place today where you're still lost, but I couldn't go and just enjoy all this stuff and not come back and tell you that Jesus loves you. And if you'll take my hand, I'll walk with you, and I'll help lead you to the place that I don't even deserve to be, but we'll go together. So all over this room, you say, Pastor, you know what? If I know tonight, if I were to die, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but man, I've been stuck right here and I need to go to another level with God. Would you pray for me? And if that's you, all you got to do is reach up your hand. Not to me, because I'm nobody. I'm just another leper that decided not to stay in the imposed limitations of my own doing and of the other people around me. I took a risk one day and I said, yes, God, I believe you. So that's why I'm standing up here all cleaned up. You say, Pastor, I need that prayer. Is that you? Come on, reach your hand up if that's you. Yeah, all right, let's stand up. It's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Time, amazing grace. It's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But now I see. You know, the songwriter went on to say, because when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. It's amazing, amazing, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Like me, oh, before we go, if I could get my four gentlemen, I know some of you picked up your guitar, that's okay, but the guys that were the lepers, could you get back up here? Come on back. Danny's playing, so I need two more guys, just two more guys, come on. You know, when you've been to the camp, when you've been to where Jesus has prepared for you, you don't have to walk with any limitation anymore. So guys, just kind of like walk over with your shoulders back and your head up and get your swag going. Come on. Yeah, come on. Get your swag going. It's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Come on, get your swag going. The rest like me. For I was once, one lost. Come on. But now I found. Oh, was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. Oh, amazing grace. Your way out today, you can give your tithe and your offering on the way out, okay? And I'd like for you to think about, pray about coming back tonight and being with us at 7. Bring some leper with you. Let's tell of the good things that God has done. Everybody say with me, live right.
Live right.
Love everybody.
Love everybody.
Pray hard.
Pray hard.
And find three people to tell them, I love you and ain't nothing you can do about it. We'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock.